Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-647-1088. Again, that's 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dr. Lisa, really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to get the information, asking for more.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to a special edition report of the Common Sense Show. Hi, this is Dave Hodges along with my co-host James White, and we are coming to you on Global Star Radio Network, broadcast to the superstation WMQM, the 50,000-watt blowtorch out of Memphis, Tennessee. And we are pleased to have a very special guest today, Denise Simon, and we're going to be talking about various aspects of terrorist threats which could potentially lie on our immediate horizon. For the introduction, I'm going to throw it back over to Jim.
Thanks, Dave. Joining us here, we're delighted to have Denise Simon with us tonight. Denise is a senior researcher, intelligence analyst for foreign and domestic policy for numerous flag officers and intelligence organizations. Her weekly show delves into the very deep and murky waters of foreign and domestic issues. Each week, her guests include high-level intel people, former flag officers, DEA, CIA, NSA, etc., you name it. The name of Denise's website is founderscode.com. That's where you can find all of her fine writing and information. Denise Simon, thanks so much for joining us on the Common Sense Show.
It's a pleasure being with you. Thanks for asking me.
Well, Denise, it's always a pleasure. I think I've interviewed you five or six times now, and it's always great. Well, we're living in tumultuous times, and we'll get right down to it. Your expertise certainly is in foreign affairs and ISIS and Syria. And, I mean, you can speak about a variety of things, of course, but that's sort of your bailiwick. Let's get right here off the bat here. We've had numerous reports, I think both of our sources, we've had numerous reports of false flag attacks on American soil, and maybe even in Toronto, I'm hearing, by Christmas. We've got those reports. You have those reports. Flesh that out a little bit for us, if you could, Denise Simon.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by false flag, but I will tell you that there was an arrest yesterday in a little town, Cologne, right outside of Geneva, Switzerland. The arrest was of two people that had explosives and some kind of a explosive gas weapons in their vehicle. Now, what the explosive gases were, I haven't been able to determine. However, it was upon doing some essentially laboratory work on their vehicle, that is how they determined what the explosive gases were, but they're not explaining that just yet. When they arrested these two fellas, they obviously did some interrogating and looked at some of their communications, the Swiss intelligence did, and they gave a heads up to our FBI, such that it made significant reference to Chicago and to Toronto. Now, what that was, we don't know. I don't think that they will necessarily tell us those specifics, but I can just say that they put something into a pipeline to give an alert to law enforcement, to FBI, and to DHS. But interestingly enough, as about 2 o'clock this afternoon Eastern Standard Time, no one in Chicago had taken any, I would say, offensive measures or had put anything into the pipeline to, I guess, prepare for what was in those critic reports. So now, as far as any other threats to the homeland, there is always chatter, gentlemen. That just does not stop. It goes on to the point where they look at about 25,000 to 30,000 pieces of information that come across several communications channels, and those, I would say, are the ones that they take a little more seriously. They're clearly more than that, but those are the ones they take somewhat seriously, such that they begin to go further, and then they ask for additional help and go further into the investigations on those to see where they came from. Is it a common thing? They collaborate. We collaborate about 4 times a day with other intelligence, foreign intelligence operations or agencies or organizations across the globe. Most of them are Canada, the UK, often Germany, but certainly Australia, because we have signals intelligence footprints in those countries. And so we do some very significant things when we collaborate to determine what they're hearing, if they know some of these people, what these channels are, what the IP addresses are, are they common? So what it's doing is it's exploiting the few resources that we have to the point where chasing some of these things down, we don't have enough human people to do it. We have some technology to do it, but then what's kind of bubbles to the surface that we've got to assign human personnel is the very difficult thing. You have to prioritize them, and therein lies a very big problem, as really what happened with San Bernardino. San Bernardino matter, Saeed Farouk was in contact with a handful of previously known people of interest by the FBI, but those files had necessarily been closed because they didn't meet certain thresholds. They were known to the FBI, perhaps even to the CIA, but they did not, I guess, exploit that information enough that it was a big problem. And that came to that information came to the FBI as a result of finally being able to talk to the roommate, Enrique Marquez. Enrique Marquez is an entry-level Islamic convert that was the next-door neighbor who had been fired from his job as a security guard at Walmart, and he was helping Saeed Farouk build the pipe bombs. There was a significant operation that was apparently going to go down in 2012. However, the FBI and Department of Homeland Security and the Joint Terrorism Task Force was on to 4 of the people that were apparently were a part of that operation, and they were arrested. We sentenced one of them actually finally this week. His name is Suhail Kabir. And that is the exact person that Saeed Farouk was in contact with. There may be some significance that some part of that cell in and around Orange County, Southern California, San Bernardino, Corona, Riverside were in contact with the other people that were part of the Garland shooting. One of those people in that Garland shooting actually was in contact with foreign sources the day that operation came down 106 times in one day. But we can identify that, but we don't know what the content of those communications are because of encryption that the FBI is not allowed to break. They're not allowed to get those key codes. They're not allowed to get the source codes. And now certainly because of, I think, November the 1st, the NSA cannot get records anymore on the content of phone calls or any of those connections, because obviously that went back to the phone companies. They may be able to get some exceptions through the FISA court, but that is still to be determined.
Denise, one of the things I want to take you back to just for a moment, when you were reporting on the events out of Europe and the MO with the explosive chemicals, I guess the volatile, flammable chemicals that you were referencing.
Yes.
This sounds very eerily similar to Missouri, where they're having large cell phone purchases as well as stolen propane tanks. It almost seems like that is going to be the MO.
Well, that the cell phone things also happened in Michigan as well. Those were purchased at a Walmart at 9:30 at night in a particular Walmart store there by Middle Eastern men. The Department of Homeland Security and the FBI has alerted any of the stores that sell prepaid cell phones that this may in fact be an issue. So those two came to the immediate attention, certainly at Walmart. But yes, look, the easiest and the cheapest thing to do is an IED of various and sundry engineering applications. Propane tanks is certainly one thing. Using some kind of other small chemicals attached to a drone is yet another. You know, we're coming into a time in American culture where we're celebrating something that has been very precious to us for generations in the United States, and that's, obviously Christmas and New Year's. And with that, we're creating additional soft targets that otherwise would not be there. You've got parades and you've got malls and stores and festivals and, lightings and tours and so forth that go on that otherwise don't occur other parts of the year. Then you have New Year's Eve. So I actually reached out to a buddy of mine yesterday who is with Joint Terrorism Task Force and asked him if there had been a formal DHS warning that had gone out for the next 2 weeks, and he said no. That doesn't mean that there isn't one. Often some of these things are done by, I would say, a conference call to certain other placeholders. But as far as JTTF is concerned, there is nothing that they have been apprised of either in a phone call or in written form.
Denise, we got about 1 minute left here before we have to go to our first break. Why don't you go ahead and go over your websites and your broadcast, where people can find out more about your broadcast and how they can continue to hear you. Sure.
Thank you. Thank you for asking. My website is founderscode.com. And what I do over there is, 7 or 8 articles a day. And for the sake of your listeners, I actually go for the true documents. I don't, I'm very clinical in things. I don't get emotional about them. I just report facts. And if I can't do that, then I just will say alleged, but there are certain clues and symptoms that occur. So I kind of do it in a warning thing. But my radio show is the Denise Simon Experience. It airs at midnight on Thursday nights, several times again over the weekend. This past Friday, I had a very interesting guest, Ami Horowitz, who had actually made a trip from Turkey to Greece on a refugee boat. And that's a significant interview because a lot of the boat that he was on, he called it a raft, those refugees are not who we think they are. They're very wealthy people.
Denise, hold on to that thought. We're simply out of time for this segment. Please stay after the break here with us on the Common Sense Show. This is James White along with my co-host Dave Hodges, and we'll be back with you right after these messages.
talking about America's decline, the liars that rule, the impending police state, the collapse of the dollar and the economy, or the loss of electricity due to an EMP? Well, it's just talk. A wise man does more. He prepares. Whatever the trigger or disaster, you cannot depend on your local grocer, the big box store, or any government handouts to feed your family. So reclaim your independence and food freedom by purchasing New Mana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com. New Mana Food Storage meals are individually wrapped and placed in a reusable bucket. New Mana meals are delicious. Potato cheese casserole, beans and rice, pancakes, pasta primavera, habanero chili, and more. No MSG, no preservatives, no high fructose corn syrup, no GMOs. Nutritious food to feed your family, friends, and assembly at a very reasonable price. Under $2 a meal. So you can have a better shot at surviving the tough times. With a shelf life of 25 years, it's food insurance and food assurance. You'll need to add the fire in the water. Make the wise choice. Order New Mana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com today. Foodforliberty.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-647-1088. Again, that's 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088.
Welcome back, and thanks for staying with us at the break. This is Dave Hodges and James White. We are the co-hosts of The Common Sense Show, brought to you by WMQM, and we are sponsored by foodforliberty.com, where we have the best in grab-and-go buckets, 76 delicious meals, reasonably priced restaurant quality, and we're offering 6 months same as cash. Go to foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Well, we're pleased to be joined by Denise Simon. And Denise, you said something very intriguing as we went to the last break. You said, according to your source, that these refugees coming into Europe aren't who we think they are. You want to elaborate on that?
I do. I don't want to steal all the thunder because it is an interesting interview. But Ami Horowitz, he was previously a Wall Streeter that worked for Lehman Brothers. And since Lehman Brothers went into the dark hole. He has taken on an investigative journalism and does documentaries. One of the first ones that he did out there was UN, meaning United Nations, and Me. It's a fascinating documentary, which you can find out there on the internet by now. Otherwise, you can buy a copy of it for, I don't know, a couple of bucks. But anyway, he has done several others. He was up there in Wisconsin during the whole labor union Scott Walker thing. He reported on that. He went to Ferguson, and then he decided to do this one. So he flew to Turkey, and he roamed the streets trying to find the human smugglers, and he found them, and he paid the money, which in some cases can be as much as $10,000 equivalent. And he got on one of these boats, and he said it really wasn't so much of a boat. It was more of a raft. It was in the middle of the night. It was storming. And it's like a three and a half hour, maybe up to a 4 hour trip to Greece. When you get into Greece, there's nobody there. There are several landing points in Greece, Lesbos Island and, you know, several other islands, but there's nobody there. Greece is very happy to take them in and push them on towards Germany, because let's not forget that Greece's leadership is very angry at Germany and Europe because they obviously are a financially failed country. So they're happy to stick it to Germany. Having said that, there are no UN people. There are no law enforcement. There is no Red Cross. There is no USAID. There is nobody. But they've caused a cottage industry on those islands where the passports are being fraudulently created and then they move on. So there's, I mean, how many people in Syria do you think can necessarily have $10,000 per person, necessarily per family, which would be dramatically more, that can afford that kind of thing? So in his estimation, just on what he saw, and there are boats lined up in Turkey ready to go. Nobody is really patrolling the waters, although there are some, but very few that you see in that 3.5-4 hour trip, in case people go overboard. But Turkey is not doing what they need to do, and Greece is not doing what they need to do. But he is actually calling this an economic jihad, that these people are exploiting a future for them someplace else that they had the wherewithal in order to do it. So they're seeing that Europe is going to give them all the freebies, entitlement programs, which are much more robust than those here in the United States, and they're taking advantage of it. So Europe has not figured out what this is necessarily going to cost them financially, because they've taken in over 1 million so far this year. And Germany just came out, I think, about 3 or 4 weeks ago and said to Turkey, if you will stop pointing people to Germany, we will pay you in order to do that. Pay how much, we don't know. But Merkel has figured out that she can't afford it, but those numbers have not been reported. So it's significant that there were no children on his particular raft, of which he called. He said this was probably one of the dumber investigative journalist trips that he had ever been on. He was truly, truly terrified, and he's not one to be that. He's a pretty gutsy guy. So the point of the story is, these people are not necessarily the jihadis, although there are some, because there are people that are recruiting them on the other end if they're fighting age men. And that does, in fact, occur. There is also mafia, certainly in Greece, but it going in towards Italy, that are exploiting these people and giving them a great song and dance that we'll take you in, blah, 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 blah. Well, everything will be great. And then they end up being used as slaves, and they are being sold. So there is a very dark underworld on the other side that very few people report.
You know, Denise, moving back here domestically, we spend a lot of money on, you know, I see it as craziness that we spend a lot of money, admittedly, with a lot of different organizations overseas trying to stop terrorism and trying to foil a lot of the plans. And there are terrorists, there are people that do want to harm this nation. And then we leave the borders practically wide open, Denise, and they flood in. And the latest estimates are that about 10% of these immigrants are hardened, fighting age, ISIS type or jihadi type fighters. Now, Denise, I don't see how this administration spends any money overseas trying to stop terrorism and then lets these people flood across the borders unmolested. And the FBI even comes out and says, there's no way we can vet all these people. There's just no way we can do it. What say you about this madness, Denise?
Well, look, I would argue that there are actually more people coming into the United States by airplane than are coming across that southern border. And therein lies a bigger problem.
Go ahead, talk about that. Talk about that. Flesh that out for us.
All right. We have so many visa programs to come into the United States. Now, Tashfeen Malik, who is the wife of Saeed Farouk, came into the United States on a K-1 visa, which is a fiancé visa. That visa was applied for in Pakistan. And you have got a bunch of entry-level types that have got a 4-year degree that want to be some kind of a foreign service officer, and they're ready to go be dispatched someplace around the world, and they end up getting this flunky job, and they, you know, they just kind of rubber stamp these. So far this year, there have been 23,000 K-1 visas approved. 23,000. We don't know how many are still in the pipeline. There's also another very interesting visa, and this is the one that disturbs me the most, and it's called a J-1 visa. A J-1 visa is an educational cultural exchange. It's not a student visa, but it is an educational cultural exchange visa. The next door neighbor, the co-plotter, Enrique Marquez, was married. He was paid $10,000 to marry a Russian woman, and she came into the United States on a J-1. He doesn't live with her. They never lived together. His mother admitted over the weekend that he didn't know, that she did not know that he was married, much less that he was a convert to Islam. Now, the J-1 is of particular interest because in this case, we accept these people very freely out of the countries for which we have the visa waiver program, and there's 38 of those countries. 38 of those countries. So the interesting thing, when the Muslims come into the United States, they often come in under a J-1 because they're attaching themselves to an Islamic organization or to a mosque under a J-1 cultural exchange. Then they have to get the local community to kind of endorse this, especially the law enforcement. And therein lies yet another problem where we have to give them special handling where they don't have to adhere to U.S. law or state law. There's a terror organization, actually there's two of them, and one is called Jaglitli Jamaat, and the other one is Diamandi. Diamandi and Jaglitli Jamaat are both out of Pakistan / India, and they have a very, very large footprint in the UK. Huge. The three mosques that are in particular question as a result of the San Bernardino massacre are all accepting and embracing Diamandi, of which the imams recognize is kind of mainstream moderate Islam, and it's not. It's clearly not. We have the J-1, we have the in the K-1 visa program. Then we have the refugees, we have the asylees, but then we have countless organizations, non-governmental organizations that are essentially, and I would argue, a false banner of religious stripes. Denise, mostly the Catholic Church and the Lutherans.
Denise, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We're out of time here for this segment. Okay. We can carry this over on the other side of the break. We thank you for joining us here on the Common Sense Show. This is James White along with Dave Hodges. Please stick with us. After these brief messages, we'll be back with Denise Simon on the Common Sense Show.
Talking about America's decline, the liars that rule, the impending police state, the collapse of the dollar and the economy, or the loss of electricity due to an EMP? Well, it's just talk. A wise man does more. He prepares. Whatever the trigger or disaster, you cannot depend on your local grocer, the big box store, or any government handouts to feed your family. So reclaim your independence and food freedom by purchasing Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com. Numana Food Storage meals are individually wrapped and placed in a reusable bucket. Numana meals are delicious. Potato cheese casserole, beans and rice, pancakes, pasta primavera, habanero chili, and more. No MSG, no preservatives, no high fructose corn syrup, no GMOs. Nutritious food to feed your family, friends, and assembly at a very reasonable price, under $2 a meal. So you can have a better shot at surviving the tough times. With a shelf life of 25 years, it's food insurance and food assurance. You'll need to add the fire in the water. Make the wise choice. Order new Mana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com today. Foodforliberty.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-647-1088. Again, that's 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088.
Thank you for staying with us through the break. This is Dave Hodges and James White, and you're listening to The Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we're coming to you on WMQM, the super 50,000 blowtorch station out of the great city of Memphis, Tennessee, and all those affiliates. Thanks for joining us. Well, before we rejoin Denise, I want to talk to you a little bit about precious metals. The economy, to say the least, is in a state of uncertainty and high volatility. And could the dollar ever collapse? Well, possibly. A lot of people say it's a matter of when and not if. And my friend Steve Quayle at Renaissance Precious Metals has the correct and absolute right approach to what you should be doing. Don't keep all your cash in the bank. Don't keep all your value in the dollar. You need to diversify. Gold and silver are great instruments. Through history, they have held their value. Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals, 406-586-4842. Give Steve a call. Talk to him. He'll consult with you. He'll advise you. Again, 406-586-4842. Denise, one of the questions I had when you were talking about the Steelmonde Group, very, very disturbing news, but are they related at all to the mosque that's being resurrected at Ground Zero in New York City?
I cannot answer that. That's actually a pretty interesting question. So I would say yes, because it's generally a widely accepted sect of Islam. So I'll give you an interesting paragraph that's actually the first paragraph of my post on it. And it says, within the United States, the cases of American Taliban John Lind, who obviously, you know, we came across him completely by mistake in Afghanistan, the Lackawanna Six and the Oregon cell that conspired to bomb a synagogue and sought to link up with Al-Qaeda all involved the Tablighi missionaries. Other indicted terrorists, such as the shoe bomber Richard Reed, the dirty bomber Jose Padilla, and Lynn Harris, sought to bomb the Brooklyn Bridge, all members of the Tablighi Jamaat, at one time or another. So according to Robert Blitzer, head of the FBI's first Islamic counterterrorism unit, between 1,000 and 2,000 Americans left to join the jihad just in the 1990s. Pakistani intelligence sources report that 400 American Tablighi recruits received training in Pakistan or Afghanistan camps since 1989. So we go back a very long time to the Clinton administration. We go back a very long time to this. They speak Urdu. They say that they're really missionaries. Again, it's kind of over there on that whole cultural thing. They come into the United States under the World Assembly of the Muslim Youth, the Haramain Foundation, the Islamic International Islamic Muslim Youth Operations. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a Wahhabi Deobandi influence that is really happening here.
You know, Denise, if you look at the San Bernardino massacre that you spoke of earlier, the perpetrators, it looks like they had a bigger, and I think the FBI even came out and reported they had a bigger plans than that. And maybe perhaps they lost their cool or went off the, reservation. Go ahead.
That was the 2012 operation. And we, the FBI, caught on to four of those, although they did not know that Saeed Farooq was necessarily on the fringe part of that. They had a Farooq and his team had a bigger operation, but they became spooked because of the four that were arrested. The reason that they're diving that pond for 2 days is because they believe that there's thumb drives and there's a hard drives possibly that were destroyed and put into that pond or thrown into that pond the day of the massacre that would go back to what occurred in 2012.
Well, my question is, you see that happening. Do you think that we are in great danger of this country? We've reported on this, and as we've talked about before, the intelligence that we're getting, Denise, and perhaps you have the same intelligence, we're looking at a, and I think Dave called it in one of his articles, a Tet Offensive type of an attack where it's going to be in multiple locations. These sleeper cells, I guess for lack of better terms, are going to get the call, and they're going to have a multi-pronged attack simultaneously. Have you heard any chatter on that, or is that something that that you're concerned about?
Yes, I mean, certainly so. And that is part and parcel of the constant chatter that, you know, that the U.S. intelligence agencies do get. And those things just never go away. Those things are just very, very constant. What is significant about the investigation on San Bernardino is to ensure, obviously, this is a much more recent operation that occurred. And so they are spreading it out to determine if what they currently have in the pipeline is a priority, or is there some other priority that they need to add in on top of it, and who these players are and where these things are happening. So you have got a multi-track terror investigation going on as a result of San Bernardino. The handicap is that the FBI cannot break the encryptions. They're using some very sophisticated encryptions and very sophisticated sites that we can't get into. We do have some hackers on the payroll. We are working to do that, and some were very successful, but then they go dark on one and they show up on another. I mean, this is it's literally chasing cockroaches globally and then figuring out how they communicate with each other because it's silent.
Yeah, definitely, that's true. I want to go back to something you said a little bit earlier with regard to the Garland shooting, and you're talking specifically about the Pam Geller event. Is that right?
Yes.
A profit, if I remember correctly?
That's correct.
Yeah, and these two people who were part of this and were shot down by law enforcement, were you saying that they were part of a bigger terrorist network?
They were communicating. Elton Simpson was communicating with an international terror operative, and particularly on the day of that event, there were 106, I may have said 160, I think it was just 106, pieces of or methods of communication with an international known operative. And we know that either by text message, either by some, you know, Mujahideen secret communications method, or by cell phone, but we don't know what the content is of that because it is encrypted.
Well, I'll tell you something, Denise. You know, what we've learned from the current terrorist organizations, as you've stated, it's not your mom and pop terrorist organizations anymore. These people are very sophisticated. They have people that are, you know, expert in video, computer technology, encryption, communication. I mean, you know, we're actually up against it. Almost is We're almost up against an organized army, Denise. I mean, these are not ragtag towel heads,
no,
quote unquote, as they call them, right? Go ahead.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Islamic State is a very wealthy terror organization. And they have been recruiting for some time people with significant skills. Jihadi Jean, the beheader, had a significant skill when it came to social media. Several others did too, but they're looking for engineers. They are looking for people that do city planning. They're looking for accountants. They're looking for bankers. They're looking for medical. And they get these people. I mean, we have a generation of people that come from somewhat wealthy or certainly upper middle class regions around the globe that obviously, you know, they're in a place where they're not, appreciated or feel like they're doing anything. And they apply their skills in Islamic State. Now, the interesting thing is Al-Qaeda, because we don't talk, I mean, obviously Islamic State has been sucking all the air out of the atmosphere, but we don't talk about Al-Qaeda. And Al-Qaeda, I would argue, is angry that they have lost some market share. And so they will work diligently, not as grotesquely, I would argue, as Islamic State, but I mean, they're not into the whole beheading kind of thing and all the things that Islamic State does, but they're more into bombing. Now, the Khorasan group, which was born out of Afghanistan, are the significant specifically talented explosives engineers, if you will, and they have merged in with AQAP, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. And those are the people that were putting the printers with the bombs into the airplanes. So do you see they go for a more sophisticated, wider, more global attack than Islamic State does within their region, whether it be in Libya, Syria, or Iraq. But Islamic State has, in fact, moved. I think they're in about 18 countries now. In fact, I did a post earlier in the week that Islamic State speaks Mandarin, and they have made a significant reach into parts of the Far East, recruiting what we once knew are the Uyghurs, which are the Muslim Chinese. And there were several of the Uyghurs that we picked up on the battlefield in Afghanistan that ended up in Guantanamo Bay. It was Obama who let the Uyghurs go. Remember, we sent some, I think, five or six of them to Bermuda or Bahamas or someplace, and then we sent some down to Costa Rica. But now the Islamic State is reaching out to them. So you have to look on a very wide berth here on what the real threat matrix is, and it is a matrix for sure. We just can't concentrate on Islamic State. We can't forget what is going on in Tunisia. We can't forget Algeria, Nigeria.
Well, Denise, hold that thought here. We come to the end of this, our third segment. Please stick around with us after this short break. We'll be back on the other side on the Common Sense Show. I'm James White, along with my co-host, Dave Hodges. And we are interviewing Denise Simon from FoundersCode.com.
Talking about America's decline, the liars that rule, the impending police state, the collapse of the dollar and the economy, or the loss of electricity due to an EMP? Well, it's just talk. A wise man does more. He prepares. Whatever the trigger or disaster, you cannot depend on your local grocer, the big box store, or any government handouts to feed your family. So reclaim your independence and food freedom by purchasing Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com. Numana Food Storage meals are individually wrapped and placed in a reusable bucket. Numana meals are delicious. Potato cheese casserole, beans and rice, pancakes, pasta primavera, habanero chili, and more. No MSG, no preservatives, no high fructose corn syrup, no GMOs. Nutritious food to feed your family, friends, and assembly at a very reasonable price, under $2 a meal, so you can have a better shot at surviving the tough times. With a shelf life of 25 years, it's food insurance and food assurance. You'll need to add the fire in the water. Make the wise choice. Order Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com today. foodforliberty.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-647-1088. Again, that's 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088.
Welcome back, and you are listening to our final segment of our special interview with Denise Simon, and it's been riveting because we're getting a bird's eye view of the subsects of many of these terrorist organizations and how intricate these terrorist plots and groups have been. I mean, just the Garland event right there is just stunning. But before we rejoin Denise, let me just quickly say that I'd like all of you after the show to go over to readymaderesources.com and visit my friend Bob Griswold's site. Bob has a whole host of survival products ranging from night vision, the PVS-14 third generation auto-gated unit, which is military hardware spec. He's offering a week back guarantee. You're not happy, you can return it. Bob will fully refund your money. But he's got survival food, water filters, anything that you need, and he'll consult with you too. He'll sit down and talk to you about your needs. 1-800-627-3809. Bob Griswold, readymaderesources.com. Well, Denise, one of the things that's on the top of almost everyone's mind is we're fearfully waiting for the day that one of these terrorist organizations comes up with a nuclear weapon. Would you speak to that, please?
I don't think they will come up with a nuclear weapon unless it comes out of Pakistan. I believe that they will take some of the leftover chemical weapons and some of the enriched uranium that seems to be floating around in the dark world, in the dark market, and they will create dirty bombs with them. But I don't see that Islamic State would come up with a nuclear weapon because they would have a hell of a time finding a delivery system for it in some kind of a missile. In kind of a launch platform. So I don't. I want to back you off on that one. I don't think that is an issue, except if you come into a dirty bomb situation. That is not out of the realm, certainly, of possibilities. But enriched uranium is actually being traded on, in the underworld in a very big way. And I would not, although I can't speak to it factually, but I would not put it past Islamic State or Al-Qaeda having some operatives in that dark world tracking some of the enriched uranium or even plutonium. There was a case that was just prosecuted earlier this year, I think out of Ukraine, and that one was kind of interesting. So if that is occurring, then we have to widen the thought that it could be certainly happening with some of the terrorist factions.
You know, Denise, right now we're in the political season here coming up, I think, on the Iowa caucuses pretty soon. This really kicks off the official presidential election. And we have Donald Trump, of course, who's leading the polls in every single solitary poll you can think of. He's brash. He's egotistical. He's pointed, and he is certainly not politically correct. And I tell you one thing, he's gaining popularity by the day. A couple things, if I can. First of all, we've been asking all of our guests about Donald Trump. So recently he's called for a moratorium on immigration from people from Muslim countries until we can get a grasp on what's going on. A, what do you think about that? And B, what do you think about Donald Trump overall as far as him being very, very pointed, very brash, and certainly slapping the mainstream media down and sort of putting them in their place. What's your thoughts on those two things, if you don't mind, Denise?
I'll take a little bit of a different view on all of this. When it comes to the moratorium from the Muslim countries, which is the part A of your question, that is something that I personally have been calling for. And I take a very clinical view and a non-emotional view on all of this. But I actually called for that earlier this year, and I asked for a 5-year moratorium, knowing that you'd have to bargain down to 3, and I think 3 would be an acceptable base. But we have to rebuild a refugee immigration system here, and all of the moving parts have to talk to each other and work together again. That's not going to happen under the Bush administration. I mean, under the Obama administration at all. We had all of those agencies talking to each other under the Bush administration, but because of the massive divisions under the Obama administration, they've all become separate islands. I think Trump, however, made a calculated mistake when he said Muslim. He should have said, we are going to shut down visa programs and immigration and refugees for 5 years. So he wouldn't have necessarily targeted just Muslims, because let's not forget that you can have other terrorists out there, if you will, that are not necessarily Muslim or would package themselves as being non-Muslim. And then he wouldn't have caused somewhat of an international crisis, and he has. He immediately said that he was going to go to Jordan and visit King Abdullah. That got canceled almost immediately. He then said he was going to Israel at the end of this month, which put Bibi Netanyahu in a very difficult position because there's over 1 million Arabs that are living in Israel. So Bibi said, you can come, but I can't meet with you. These are the reasons why. So then Trump canceled the trip altogether. He also said earlier in the month that he wasn't too sure that Jerusalem should be the capital of Israel. So there are some other things that Trump has said that are really contrary to really what we need as a commander-in-chief and a president. And one of them is eminent domain. However, he was shrewd because he did capture and he seized the anger of the United States population, the voters. And that is where he came out of the chute absolutely like gangbusters, and he's held on to that. He has seized that anger that we have. I don't think that, and I was actually thinking about this today, and I'm going to put some emotion in this, but mostly, again, it goes back to the nuts and bolts. We don't have an opportunity or the luxury of having a person who is not in politics in some form or fashion to go through a 6 to 8 month learning curve when they become president. We have to hit the ground running on January the 17th, and we have to have things on the desk, ready to stamp, ready to sign, and ready to put in process. Because I would argue that 6 months into 2017 could be a very dangerous time again for the United States, because we have a president who doesn't understand the whole position yet.
Yeah, I'd be worried about the lame duck period, too.
Well, and that's it. That's it. So, there's a lot of things that I do like about Donald Trump, and I'm very happy, but I also think that he's a spoiled brat and he's petulant. He has been mentioned since he ran for president. You know, he announced his run for president. He has been mentioned in the media, and I heard this statistic yesterday. How accurate it is, I don't know, but it's probably very close. Over 64,000 times. Okay.
It's amazing.
That's great
press. Hey, I want to broach one topic here, and it's something I've wondered, so I hopefully I can get some closure in my mind. The terrorist groups we're talking about here, ISIL, ISIS, all of them. Any evidence that they're associated with the Russian government, Russian intelligence agencies? To
absolutely.
Any degree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. and this is not conspiratorial. These are facts, and a lot of people have not been good students of Russia and the model that they have used during the Cold War and post-Cold War that has always worked, that they're still using today. And Putin, being former KGB, which is now the FSB, he's exploiting that. In fact, I read a fascinating article earlier in the week which captured everything that I knew, to be true, but certainly expanded on it, and that is he's a professional troll. And he has agencies all over the world that are part of that professional troll objective. If you look at Zawahiri went to school in Russia. Yasser Arafat, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, is a product of the KGB. They created it. Russia Today, RT, that a lot of people seem to refer to, that is a Kremlin publication.
A real quick follow-up on that. Specifically, what I'm referencing is stories that came across my desk that basically said that these terrorist groups have been working at the behest of the Russians, moving Russian arms to Assad in a covert fashion before they became involved militarily on the ground and in the air.
That's precisely it, and he's testing new weapons platforms in Syria as well. What he is bombing in Syria are not Islamic State targets. He is bombing at a ratio of about 90%, 92% anti-Assad forces, which are those that Saudi Arabia and the West have been supporting because they want Assad out. The original agenda was to get Assad out of there. Now everybody has said, well, he's going to stay. Now we're just it's boiled down to we can only fight Islamic State. But that is not what Putin is doing. He's selling arms to anybody he can sell arms to uninhindered, without limitation. And he has deployed very interesting aircraft. He has deployed mostly dumb bombs that he's getting out of his inventory, but he's mixing those with some other radar jamming and electronic warfare operations that he is testing, things that we do, in fact, know about because of a previously defector, although he was never able to leave the country, that ended up working with our CIA back in post-Cold War, who ended up being killed.
Well, Denise, we're just simply running out of time here. Of course, it's always great information, and we could probably go on for another two or three segments. Before we have to actually close out here, why don't you take some time and give us out once again your websites and where can people can listen to you on the radio?
They can go over to Red State Talk Radio and find the archive shows there under the Denise Simon Experience. My show is aired once a week, but it does get replayed in several markets over the weekend. And then my blog site is founderscode.com.
Well, Denise, we so much appreciate you joining us here on the Common Sense Show. And we hope that you join us tomorrow, as our guest will be Ben Davidson, who's a fantastic guest. If you haven't ever heard of Ben Davidson, I really strongly suggest that you listen to the broadcast tomorrow. We appreciate you so much for joining us here.
Thank you. This is
James
it's
White.
My pleasure.
You're welcome, Denise. This is James White from the Common Sense Show. For my co-host, Dave Hodges, we'll see you next time. Common Sense Show.